Well, if you want to go in the Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be today. I think this is, what, the sixth week in a row that we've talked about the renewed mind, and briefly to kind of go back and hit the high spots of some of the things that we've talked about. If you remember in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It talks about the conformed as being squeezed into shape by external forces. And it's specific here when it says conformed to this world. That's the cosmos. And we know that the cosmos is the devil's world system, and we are constantly and forever being squeezed and pressured into conforming to that cosmos. But instead, we're told to be transformed, to go through the metamorphosis, which is an inside change, by the renewing of our mind. Quite a contrast there. Proverbs 4:23 told us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. And if you remember, the heart is the central portion of our mind, where our mindset is. It's the way we've been programmed. And so we need to be guarding at all time the input that we have into our mind, because as we input, we are actually programming our inner mind. And out of that comes everything about our life, the issues of life. If you remember my illustration of the cycle of water in a stream, everything to do with how we live, everything comes out of our heart, out of our mind, out of our believing. You know, the New Testament talks about believing equal receiving. Same thing that Proverbs says. The issues of our life are a result of what's in our heart. And of course, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination." And that imaginations is actually the Greek word that means reasonings. It's our thought process that are those strongholds. Our mindset presents us with strongholds, because our mindset is what we believe. And even though we say one thing, what we really believe is actually what comes out. It takes time to change those strongholds. In Ephesians 4, is some pretty good instructions on how that happened. And so if we go to Ephesians 4, and actually this chart that I've shown you several times of the stairs of self-righteousness was actually inspired by Ephesians 4 and the dynamics of the book of Ephesians. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." You know, for years I had a real perplexity about that verse, because it seemed to, in Ephesians 1 and parts of 2, Paul spends an awful lot of energy telling us who we are, and that it's not by works. It's not God took us and placed us in the heavenlies in Christ, and that he made us righteous. And it's not by our works. He decided to do that. And he provided Jesus Christ to do that. And then here in verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy." And it kind of sounds like you have to become worthy. And I've heard that taught that way many, many, many times. Then, after taking this verse to say that you have to become worthy, then they use the rest of the chapter here where it says that you need to do these things to become worthy. God made us worthy. In Christ we are worthy. We can never, ever achieve worthiness by our works. Ever. That word worthy there means appropriately. And so what Paul is saying here, now the walk, of course, is an idiom that means our way of life, the issues of our life. Out of our heart flows the issues of life, our walk, the way we live. That we should walk appropriately, not to gain worthiness, because we are worthy, but because we're worthy, walk appropriately as a worthy person. See the difference? There's a huge difference there. And that's what Paul is saying. Appropriately of the calling that you've been called with. That's what it says there. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's holding one another up in love. Endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, there is one body. There is only one body of Christ. How can we build another? And when we build another, it is not the one body. There is only one body. Bless you. Verse 7. But unto every one of us, each one of us is given, and actually that's was given in the Greek, was given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, it's kind of a cool thing here when you study this verse out. You find out that the measure of Christ, he was the measure. He's the measuring cup. Okay, it's not like, you know, we think about according to the measure of Christ. Now, this has been taught many times that you get however much he wanted to give you. Well, that's actually true, but he gave you by his measure. We've been given grace according to the measure. He is the measuring cup. We each got the same measure, which was the measure of Jesus Christ. We all got the full cup. There's nobody that's born again that got only a part of a cup. And there's nobody that's born again that got two cups. We all got the same cup. We all got the same amount of grace. We all have been made worthy because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we're going to skip down a little bit, down to verse 14, where the part that I want to for you to notice here. In chapter 4, we see what I call the put-on, put-off dynamic. Because it repeats things that we should put off, followed by what we put on. And the way the dynamic works now in relation to our mind is if we are having thoughts and having issues of life that are contrary to being appropriate for our calling, and we all have those, right? I do. You know, how do I get rid of that? You know, do I concentrate on my sin and think really hard, I'm not going to do that anymore?
No.
Does that make it go away?
No.
It only makes you think about it more. It only builds it. So instead, the dynamic, when we have things going on in our life that we can call the issues of life that result from our mindset, the way we get rid of those is not by concentrating on them. Because if they are issues that are not appropriate to our calling, then indeed they are sin.
Right?
Right? Okay. So if we concentrate on that sin, our mind is focused on that sin.
That's
right. And so therefore, now instead of doing the things that grace leads us to do, now we are fully concentrated on that sin, and instead of getting rid of it, it only amplifies it. So God has given us some clear instructions here of how do we get rid of those things without sitting here trying to concentrate on our sin. Well, it's the put off, put on dynamic. And it's presented here in Ephesians very clearly, and also in Colossians. We're just going to look at Ephesians today. And it starts in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie await to deceive. But, now that was the put off, we're going to put off being cast to and fro by every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now that describes a lot, doesn't it? I mean, that describes a lot of our experience in life. Okay? But instead, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So instead of concentrating on all of that stuff, we look to Him and grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. One body, one God. There's not many. There's only one. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so that's the put on. Start verse 15 and 16. And that's what we use to put off, to replace being blown about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men. I love the way it says that. And cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie await and to deceive. And then another put off starts in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now here's the put on. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth as is in Jesus, that you may put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And here's another put on. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we spent some time in Romans 7 and 8, where it talks about the struggle between the old man and the new man. And here again, he's talking about to put off the old and put on the new. So how do you, in that struggle that Romans 7 and 8 talks about, how do you get rid of the ways of the old man? You battle with the old man. When you battle with the old man, you're going to lose. Right? We do. We lose every time. Because the old man is of this world. It's flesh. But the new man is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in the new man, there is victory. There's always victory there. And then a quick example in verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lying. Who is our biggest target of our lies? Ourselves. We lie to ourselves all the time. That's how we justify the things that we do. But instead, we speak the truth in love to ourselves. Where do we get the truth? Out of the Word. By revelation.
Anything that God says we are, if we believe the lies about ourselves, it doesn't line up with the Word, and so that's a lie too.
Yes.
So anytime you believe anything but what the Word says about us, it's a lie.
Yes. Yes. Well, just think about it. God has said that we're righteous.
Yeah.
Well, if you're righteous, how do you how do I believe all the negative things that I believe about myself? I'm righteous. God says I'm righteous. Who am I to say that I'm not? And when I think that I'm not, I'm believing the lie. I'm justified. I'm righteous. I mean, it really is such a simple, basic thing, but it's so profound and so life-changing. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So you let the sun go down on your wrath, in other words, hold on to your anger, you're giving place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. I love this. You know, let him that steals steal no more. When is a thief no longer a thief? Just because a thief isn't at that moment stealing something, is he still a thief? Yeah? He's just waiting for opportunity. But when you're no longer a thief, you're working to be able to give. Your intention has changed. See the change in intention there? There's a change from, I have to provide for myself any way I can, to God is my sufficiency, and He's going to supply enough that I can give. What a difference in mindset. You see the put off and the put on? The change? Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My goodness. My goodness. Put off, put on. Remember in the book of James where it talks about the tongue? In chapter 3 of the tongue, it talks about the tongue. James 3, verse 7, for every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Mm-hmm. The tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The tongue has great power. And it's the tongue that shows who really lives inside of us. That's where the issues of life come out first. Out of the same mouth, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? And there's a real contrast there between the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, which literally means of the dirt, animal-like, and from the devil. And is contrasted to the wisdom that's from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, which means easy to swallow. It's kind of cool. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but, here's a contrast, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We choose what comes out of our mouth. So it says to not do that, and the way to get rid of that is by doing the other. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye, see now here is the classic, put on, put off. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You're putting that off with all malice, and you put on, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So that is the dynamic of the put-off and the put-on in Ephesians 4. And it's based on the fact that God has made us worthy, God has made us holy, and therefore we can choose to walk appropriately to the calling that he's called us to. And it's not because we have to do this to become worthy. It's not by works, but by God's grace.
We don't do it so we can be holy, set apart. We do it because of God.
Yes.
Right. And you're working from a power of strength, a position of strength. If you're doing it because you are and not because you can't. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The position of strength.
That's remarkable. I like that about put off line. You know, because that covers the whole gamut of things that we do to ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we believe about ourselves are lies.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
from
mm-hmm.
the worldly standpoint, from old man's standpoint. They're all lies. And like you were saying, when you concentrate on your sin, you're lying.
Yeah.
When you're concentrating on sin rather than concentrating on the grace and the ministry of reconciliation, and that's our vocation, is our ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
And that's what we should be focusing on, not on our sin life.
Yes.
Not on the past sin, present sin, or future sin, because it's all forgiven.
Right.
But when we focus on that, we make ourselves liars because we're focusing on sin and not the forgiveness. And not moving forward with the reconciliation.
Right. And you see, and that's why most counseling
mm.
does not work.
Mm.
Because that counseling concentrates on the sin.
On the sin. Right.
And as you are learning to
right.
to allow people to find that hurt
right.
and then ask God
right.
what God thinks about it.
Right. Right.
And that's when the healing comes.
And that's when the life. And that's what I was thinking
yes.
of, the theosophic prayer that you're learning is such a perfect put on
yes.
example.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
if that person can get that concept
right.
when, you know, when that lie is exposed
mm-hmm.
and put the word on there and put on what God says about that,
mm-hmm.
then they are truly healed,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's just a really neat example of the put off, put on.
And the reason it works is because they're coming from a position of strength,
power, mm-hmm.
and that
right.
and that position of strength
right.
and power
right.
is what heals
right.
and takes them away from that lie that has them in its grip.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of
well,
cool.
In Ephesians 3, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What are the riches of his glory? I mean,
mm-hmm.
holy mackerel. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's in Ephesians 2.
Okay.
He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. All that we ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
According to the power that worketh in us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the
surprising part. That's, you know, well, that power is dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the work is energy.
Well, I don't know for you guys, but sometimes I have this idea in my head that, yes, I am saved by grace and not by word. But now if I'm going to be real holy and real spiritual, I've got to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to do all these things.
Yeah.
But what this says is, no, you've been made
right.
holy. You've been made spiritual. You've been given all there is.
Right.
Now
show that by your
by
walk.
By doing these things. Yeah,
right.
Let your walk.
Right.
You're not walking so you can be. You're
right.
walking because
you
are.
Right.
And it's, you know.
Right. Well, you said it so perfectly, you know, from that position,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we are.
I have this idea in my mind of a position of strength of a person who is standing on a platform, able to be above the enemy or to look down on them,
yep.
And from a position of strength.